Welcome, television audience and all of you here to SACPA. On behalf of our partners Shaw Television, the University of Lethbridge, and as always, Sven Erickson's, who cater to us whether we have 25 or 125. This is the first time in some 37 years that SACPA will not have a speaker, but will have an open forum to hear your views on health care. I'm indebted to Bob Anderson and Gordon Campbell for the idea that this topic is so important that the public needs to be heard. My first reaction when I found there'd be no speaker and I had to moderate an open forum was, I said to my wife, Lord, I should pray. And my wife's reaction was, no. She handed me the Bible and she said, read Matthew 15:14. So I opened the Bible and took a look and it said, if the blind lead the blind, both of you will fall in the ditch. So with this admonition, I decided to go one step further. I went down to Clint Dunford's office and I secured, through his cooperation and his wonderful secretary, Jody Green, the health policy framework for those of you who haven't seen it, a very short summary, which is on the green sheet. I also received copies of questions that the government wants you to send in, or if you fill them out today, I'll make sure they get to the office. And then there is another document on your table by Dr. Lyle Oberg, one of the contenders for the leadership, who says there are three ways to fix our health system. Now, you have those on your desk. I understood that Bob Stratichuk, the chief financial officer of the CHR, was to be here to help us out if there were some financial problems, as his CEO Pam Whitick is out of town. So this is an opportunity to be heard. There are mics at four of the tables. I'm going to put this one down here. You will each be given 2 or 3 minutes to express your views on health care. One of the cautions as a moderator I would like your cooperation in is that I don't want you to come up and read a 5-page brief. That is not the purpose of the forum. If you want to send in a brief, send it up to health care. We want to have your views. And if you do start to read a lengthy brief, in view of my background as a school principal, I have a bell here that will be a signal to you that you might be soon cut off, and there's a machine there that I can cut you off on. We have a full half hour before lunch. We will have lunch, which you can discuss the ideas, and then we'll have a full hour, half hour after lunch. So let's go to it. There are four mics. I will make every effort to recognize who is ever at the mic, and I'll put this one down here so someone can use it. So you're free to express your views. Please hold the mic just a little distance from you, and don't touch anything on it. It's all been set for levels for the television organization.
Keep it vertical like this in front of, and three fingers from your mouth, and you'll be best heard like this.
Okay, who wants to be first? Please identify yourself.
Yes, thank you. My name is James Moore. I want to be first, and I want to bring, I've got a few documents that I don't have copies of, but I think you all have Mr. Oberg's one that was there on the table. When you look at his statement, fourth paragraph, healthcare expenditure approximately $3.5 billion, 1993, and now it's going higher, pushing $10 billion, he says. Well, the first thing, when you want to do a realistic projection about money, you have to include inflation. You have to adjust for, we all know what inflation is, I think. I have a book here called The Return of the Trojan Horse. It's very well-researched health expenditure for Alberta total health care, but it's in constant $1,992 per capita. And you can see he's correct in terms of the 1993 estimate. It's very, very close to what he says. It would come at $1,600 per capita to about $3.5 billion, given 2.9 million people in the province. But we look at 2004, and anyone's welcome to look at this if they want to. We can pass it around, where the health expenditures are just under $1,800 per capita. So if you're talking in real money, not in inflated money, we all, you know, this is 14 years ago. So this is totally misleading. This is an instance of, I think someone else said there's three types of lies. There's lies, there's damn lies, and there's statistics. You know, if they're not going to give you the numbers in adjusted per capita for constant dollars, then this is totally misleading. Secondly, Iris Evans in the Lethbridge Herald, she's got a fact here. It's dated this month anyway. Fact. Healthcare. Even in a province as wealthy as Alberta, healthcare will consume the entire provincial budget within the next 25 years at current rates. The same type I don't know what you want to call it, mendacity, deliberate obfuscation of the truth. You know, if you look at the graph here, when you have a graph going on this angle, like this. If you project that, you know, you can come up to anything you want to, but 25 years, it's ridiculous to make a prediction like that. The same graph, when they cut healthcare expenditures, in the cutting time when Ralph first came to be the premier, you'll see the graph going down. You know, this is properly researched, taking account inflation. So if she says in 25 years it'll consume the entire budget, you could just as well say back in 94, 95 when the graph was going this way that in 25 years healthcare would be entirely free. Okay? That's the kind of obfuscation and mendacity we don't need when we're talking about our future. Thank you.
Yes, John Gogo, I appreciate the comments you just made. However, I'd make the following comments. Many of you here today would remember Andy Andrichuk, who was the administrator of a hospital. His top salary was $60,000. Today, Calgary and Edmonton CEOs added together is in excess of $1 million. Our hospital here is in excess of $300,000. I just came back from Vaheed Hospital with surgery done. I recall seeing about 10 or 12 or 14 people, all on computers, not one of them with a patient. And it makes me wonder, is it defensive medicine that's going on, or are people frightened of lawsuits? I think it's a disgrace you've got to wait 10 hours at this hospital in emergency. Our population increase has been reasonable, not unreasonable. I take exception to some of the figures I just heard. We had a budget yesterday, $10 billion. I was a member of this government when the total provincial budget was $1 million. Obviously, it cannot continue. The question is, what do we do about it? And I've long subscribed to the theory that $5, $10, or $15 in visiting a physician would turn away so many people who really, you have to ask the question, are they ill? We don't mind paying a premium for Blue Cross. We don't mind paying the outlandish figures for dentists in this city, at least I assume we don't. Why is it that we can't bring ourselves, and I say this in summary, to control ourselves? We pay nurses 22% more, and they're valuable people. But Manitoba and Saskatchewan can't afford any of that. What's our role as Canadians? What's our role of being proud of this country and seeing a healthcare system affordable to all stays in place. I happen to think we in Alberta are one of the biggest abusers of the system. We think we throw more money at it, we solve problems. But when we didn't throw that money, the waiting time in emergency was only 4 hours. So I frankly think we have to look at, out of the $10 billion, how much of that money reaches the patient, because it's supposed to look after sick people. And I'd like an answer to that question, if anybody here can answer. Maybe one of the five vice presidents of our regional hospital can answer that. Thank you.
Van, do you mind if I call up like John? Comment.
Speak into the mic and identify yourself.
Luis? Hello? Comme ça? Okay?
Yes.
John, you're right.
Identify yourself, please.
Sorry. Al Barnhill. Is this working? Closer to my mouth? All right. Okay. I'm not used to these things. I'm used to shouting.
Come on.
Okay. Yes, sir. I just want to follow up from what John was saying, because I think he's on the right track. And I think that much of the problem and the increased expenditures is a function of mismanagement. I think that starts at the very top, as has been suggested. But I think also the way these organizations are structured, even the way the whole system is structured, we have to visit a doctor. If we have a cough, a cold, or whatever, it seems to me that there are other ways of streaming the flows of patients into the overall system, whether it's through nurses or other qualified people. There are other ways of structuring the overall system. Secondly, and I think there's something to be said for the private sector. Just hang on a second. Don't throw over your buns. And that is in terms of management. John has just pointed out examples where there is so much misadministration and misallocation of people doing jobs that they need not to be doing or could be done by people from the private sector who will really do probably a much more efficient job. Not suggesting for 1 minute that any of the healthcare services, only talking about the administration, be done by private sector companies. And thirdly, there's a bigger problem, and that is the relentless corporatism that is taking over our economy, our society. Last week it was the Hudson's Bay Company, 350-odd-year company of Canada that was taken over by a big investor, a billionaire out of South Carolina. The week before, it was Fairmont Hotels, formerly CP Hotels, Banff Springs, Jasper, and so on. And it's relentless. And I think that only one way to deal with corporations and their perpetual power and pursuit of profits and power, and that is to have a stronger government. And I would suggest that the corporatist government in Alberta has to be removed, whether that's a combination of the NDP and the Liberals or some other magic formula, but it has to be done. They're in bed together, they'll stay there as long as they're not thrown out. Thank you.
My name is Van Christou. We're dealing with a very complex problem here today. There are no simple answers. But I'd like to focus on two aspects of it. And one is, first of all, people's expectations. I think that we've been led down the garden path in many ways in expecting too much from the medical profession, too much in terms of being looked after and not taking enough responsibility for looking after ourselves. I think that the whole attitude in North America has become one of narcissism, where I demand to be looked after, and I want to go down there, and they better just take care of me, and there better not be a waiting line. Well, I'm sorry. Most of what is being treated is preventable. and it's not being prevented, and we are not focusing on prevention. Neither the medical profession nor our government has any interest in prevention at all. How much money is being spent on preventive research in this country? Like a half of 1%, compared with 92% being spent on more complex treatment procedures that become more expensive as well. I think it's time that we start taking a fresh look at our own responsibility as individuals for looking after ourselves primarily and not expecting so much from the medical profession or from government.
These things up that you want to talk, would you mind going to a mic so that we can keep the flow moving rather than having gaps? There are four mics. So the next person, please grab a mic if you want to speak.
Well, I have to disagree. Bev Mendel-Atherstone. I have to disagree, and I think this whole idea of saying it's up to us to take responsibility is part of the whole corporatization of our lives. We live in a chemical soup which we know is causing cancer, and we know, you know, your chances now are 1 in 2 of dying from cancer in your lifetime. We talk about prevention. Well, we put it onto the individual and say you should eat healthy and blah, blah, blah. But we are living in this soup where we are breathing in toxic air and drinking toxic water, and the chemicals have pervaded our entire food system, our food chain. We can't even eat the fish from the sea because that is all toxic as well. And to talk about prevention, the monies that we give to Cancer Society and these other societies go to the pharmaceuticals, and we know that the pharmaceutical agencies are just in it for greed and profit themselves. They don't really want to cure anything. They want to keep us constantly taking medications. But we don't look at the problem of the waste and the toxins in our air, which are supplied by our coal-based and oil-based economy. In the past 10 years, the EUB has put through more than 10 times the previous applications for oil and gas wells in Alberta. And I can see them. I live just across from the Blood Reserve. I've watched them in the past 8 years go up. There were none there when we moved out to our acreage, and now there are hundreds. So to say it's our fault is a complete misconception. I have to say that the doctors and nurses are working their behinds off. I just had surgery January 19th. I had a hernia repair. And I have to say, I had excellent care. Everyone who was involved in my care, and there were various people because I was there over various shifts, they were terrific. Now, because it was hernia repair, on my chart it said day surgery, so they were going to kick me out that day. However, there were all kinds of complications, not enough oxygen in my blood, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even get out of the post-surgery thing till 10:30 at night, and they were going to send me home at midnight. They were calling to send me home at midnight, and I didn't even have oxygen in my blood. That I see as the problem in our healthcare system. We're sending people home too soon. We know we're sending moms home much too soon after labor and delivery, and they're having to go back to the hospital. And why are we doing this? Because we blew up one hospital in Calgary, sold another, got rid of St. Mike's in Lethbridge. You know, when we moved here, there were 50,000 people in Lethbridge. We had two hospitals. Now there's over 70,000. We're close to 80,000. We have one hospital. Why do we have long lineups? Why do we have problems? Because this has been a deliberate plan of the provincial government to destroy our healthcare system. And now they're saying that it's our problem, it's our fault. I mean, our healthcare people, our frontline people are working to their fullest extent, but they're letting the whole system, the provincial government is letting this system deteriorate so that they can say the public healthcare doesn't work and that we need private healthcare. Well, that's just another way of making us into something like a dish, a plate, something that we can sell and profit from. We are human beings, and it makes me absolutely furious to see that the whole system that Tommy Douglas put into place is being slowly eroded. Now back to who it's being downloaded on. It's being downloaded on women. If when you have the people going home from the hospital early, or you have people that are sick and can't get into the hospital, who is taking care of them? It's the women in our society, and we should be having a civil war in Alberta with women marching in the streets saying we're tired of doing triple shifts. We're working outside because, of course, we never get paid for the work that we do in the home. We're working in the home, raising the family, raising the future generation of slaves to the corporate structure. And we're working to take care of the healthcare system, which has been eroded by our provincial premier. So we should be the ones saying, stop, this is enough. We want to see things change, and our conservative government that's in power, I thought conserve was to conserve the things that are good. Well, we're getting rid of all the good.
My name is Sylvia Campbell, and I would like to build on what Bev has just said. I think we can't consider health separate from things like the economy and the environment. And we have a province where the demographics are changing so that we have a large number of people who need to work two or three jobs in order to survive. We have to fight for additions to minimum wage. AISH has had a big fight when they tried to cut that. Poor people suffer poorer health. And I think we really need to be having a more egalitarian kind of society. Thanks very much.
Hi, Ruth Alzinga. I just have to take exception to a couple of speakers' comments. One was Bev when she said that pharmaceutical companies, certainly they're profit-driven, they want to be successful, but to think that they're doing it only for profit, I think differently about that. But what I really take exception is to what has Bev said is the government's deliberate plan to destroy the health system. I mean, that is hogwash. I can just tell you that we heard from you yourself, Bev, that you had excellent service, and there are many people that have been very well treated by the health system. I'm here to say that I'm, as the government is, I'm interested to see reactions to perhaps some of the points that were raised, but this is not carved in stone. Nothing has happened yet. They are looking for information. I can tell you with a degree of pride, and I feel honored to know Iris Evans personally. She is the Minister of Health, and there is no way that she would do or offer something to the people of Alberta that would destroy the health system. I think that we've got to express our concerns where they are real. How would a private and a public practice coexist in this system? And there are certainly some things that we should question and things that we should share with the ministry. But I think that it is being very judgmental to make some of the comments that have been made. And I agree with Van that we can certainly take a lot more responsibility for our own health. That is not to say it is our fault if we get cancer, but I agree that we do live in a toxic soup. But I also spend about 4 hours daily at a care center here in Lethbridge, and I can tell you there's a lot of people that are living up to their 100th birthdays, so there's got to be some pretty good care that we have such frail and elderly that are looked after well. So I just think that we should give our positive comments, negative comments, whatever, but talk to the Minister of Health. She's a receptive, wonderful woman, and I know she'd be receptive to comment.
Fritz Wuth, I didn't get a reply from Iris Evans to a letter. With the shortage of doctors that we already have, how will we be able to fill these when we now let them practice privately? Number two, how come a candidate that is for premier is a director in a company whose offshoot is already selling private health insurance in Alberta today?
There isn't a mic at your table to wrap up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, John Boris is my name. I think this is one of the biggest questions we have with respect to who we might vote for based on their policies. Healthcare is the number one problem that we have. Now, I think we're all aware, at least those of us that are here, because I think you're all interested in health quite a lot because you're here at a function such as this. And that is that we've got our opinions, we've got people that publish books. One was right here, a gentleman here had it here, and we're just about to say it. Oh, I lost it. Sorry. It's okay now, isn't it? I just let my hand go. And it wasn't operated on or anything. But anyway, you see, somebody got up and told that gentleman that that is not correct. And that's a book written by, I don't know who it is, somebody wrote a book. But the point is, I think we throw around facts as if they're nickel per foot or something. In other words, it's a commodity, this government thinks, just like anything else. And most of us are familiar with what this government did when it really ran out of money. It knocked down hospitals, shut off fair payment to nurses and doctors, and that is when the problem started. Somebody said they were here that, look at Lethbridge is going up about, it's 70, 80,000, and we got one hospital. We had two hospitals before. Now, we're not going to go to any arguing about the hospitals. But the other thing is that you can take anything that's supported by the government and argue for either side, and it's going to be settled by who elects more members to his parliament, to his legislature, or what. And that they believe, we have even Ruth Elzinga, a very fine lady. She got up and she said, this is terrific. Well, Ruth, I've known you for years. You've really gone out right now, but we'll forget that now. Well, anyway, we could carry on that. But what we have is we have a political party that is in power in this province that says, come hell or high water, we're going to have private health care in here. That is what they are set out to do. I'd like to ask people here, just think about it. I can remember the picture that when they destroyed the General Hospital. Remember that? They imploded it. They lined it up with, they should have had some martyrs there. I don't know. They didn't have martyrs around in those days. But they did blow the hospital up, and then they built other hospitals. And one speaker over here, well-known Mr. Gogol, talked about what they're paying now and what they paid before. Well, put everything in the same comparison way, but don't use something that's out of line compared to one. Now, what they're trying to do here, I believe, and I'm just one person, that little by little they're going to open this system to more private care than we have now. We have some right now. And somebody got up and I think mentioned something about, was it the dentist, whatever they paid, I don't, it was Mr. Gogol, I think. But the point is, if you let people in medicine set their wants, their returns, give them all the power to set those returns, they'll do like any other corporation does. And that is maximum profit. And I don't disagree with that. However, we've got to say to some utility things, for instance, schools, hospitals, some other things that are just obviously a utility, and they have to be controlled by government. Now, they talk about in Quebec, they have a plan that they have wide open, from what we gather, health service. Just to wind up. And what's happening in Quebec is this. They have private care and they have health, public care. And they rule and set down the terms on which these doctors and nurses work. And if we want to have private health care, I'd say fine. but you're not going to be paid what you were paid if you came across from the line over there, or if you're here and you set up the business. Pay them out of one pot, and then we're okay. Let them do all the business they want. They won't get any more than they are now. But if you think they aren't being paid by people who are well-to-do, and that, just look around. We have hospitals, we have services to give, and there's no question. But we have to. People are implying, I think, that we should have somebody that's all knowledgeable, and he or she will set the income. And I think they cannot do it, but it's going to be controlled by the government. And so, I accept private health care for people that get paid totally out of the health care, and not one public dollar goes into that income. They want it on those terms, yes, but not any other way. Thank you.
We're going to break for lunch now, and I would like to urge you after the lunch break, when we have the other speakers, we have people from all political persuasions here, we have people with all different views. I hope we will always extend courtesies to everyone that speaks and not mention derogatory remarks. This is an open forum. We want to hear everybody's views, and I hope you will respect that. Next Thursday, we will have a program. It'll be called A Danger Lurking in the Shadows, The Effect of the Third Way on Employers. The speaker will be Gil McGowan, who's a trade union leader. And this week, today, Trevor Page, Terry Shillington, Diane King, and other members of the SACPA organization are selling tickets for our major fundraiser. Those tickets should be purchased this week. The dinner, which will be hosted by John Kilchrist, who's a restaurateur and a speaker from CBC in Calgary, will be the guest speaker. That will be on Friday, March 31st. If you're interested in tickets, please see one of those people and get your tickets today. Thank you very much.